Shut up and sit down.
Welcome to the Absolute Worst Podcast. I'm Allison Royer.
And I'm Dana Powell.
Each week in our show, we seek and give free therapy by telling you our problems, asking you to tell us your problems, and then we just pray to God that any of it works out.
We're basically the opposite of Oprah.
Dana, I gotta be honest. I really think we are now.
This week you think
we are?
Last week I feel like you were like, you know, I think that's not true. I think we're actually Oprah.
It's not going well.
It's not?
No. I mentioned previously that we were getting in trouble by some of our listeners. Last time it was because I said that I had baby brain, and I got in trouble for that. And I'm, as usual, because I'm like, very self-aware and just like a really good person. And just, I'm always willing to admit when I was wrong.
Sure.
So in a previous episode, this was episode 20, this one's for the boys. I said something in that episode, and as I was saying it, I knew. Which actually, this is like a common defect of mine where if I think a joke is funny, I cannot stop myself. Which, you know.
Even if it's inappropriate.
Even knowing that it's not appropriate.
So, which honestly is part of what comedy is.
Totally.
It pushes the boundaries.
100%. And I mean, another good example of this is I took this picture of myself this week where I looked literally insane. I had 400 chins.
It made me laugh.
I had on a very fancy necklace and I look at it and go, do you have no self-respect? This is not appropriate. You should really be trying to look attractive.
No.
And then before I knew it, I was sharing it to our Instagram because I'm like,
funny.
Do not look attractive in this picture under any circumstances. It's the worst version of myself. But it's just so funny. Like, I couldn't stop myself.
I think a couple of things about that. I think it's like a sign of you kind of, you like, you believe in yourself and you know you're attractive or you wouldn't be able to put that out there.
Is that true?
Partially that. Like, it could either be like a healthy self-esteem and it's fine and you can make fun of yourself.
There we go.
Or it could be like, I know a girlfriend that every picture she takes, she makes the most ridiculous face or poses her body weird or tries some way to look as ugly as possible.
Is this me?
And I think it's an insecurity thing of like, I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to like a picture of myself, so I'll just make them all crazy.
Are both of, is that an example of me or is it another
I'm
person?
Not sure which one's you.
No, but when you say you have a friend that does that, is that
No.
So in that vein, I said in that episode that I had caught anorexia in high school.
I told you when we were done recording that people were going to be mad at you.
It didn't work out.
Yeah.
So I want to read some feedback.
Oh, boy.
Here's what's good about this. And let me tell you something. This isn't the last email. This is the one I'm going to read today, but rest assured I have several in our email
box. Oh, because these episodes are out there forever.
I have to sparse
these
out.
You can legitimately get like 7 emails a week for the rest of your life regarding that.
That's 100% true.
Yeah.
But the good news is we have been getting, so at the bottom of our show notes, in case you don't read them, we have a link to the National Suicide Hotline. Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people have given us props for throwing that in there. And today we're going to be adding, and in another email, we're going to keep adding resources for people. So let me just read this email from our anonymous listener, Allison and Dana.
Nice.
You were included. Sorry about it. I've been in recovery from an eating disorder for almost 2 years and still really struggle with food and body image. Your discussion didn't offend me. She's talking about when I said I was caught anorexia. Your discussion didn't offend me, and I actually thought it was very funny. I am pretty sensitive when people talk about eating disorders, but what tends to bother me is when people speak from a place of ignorance and or with judgment. As you both know, mental health issues, eating disorders, and addiction issues are all very complex things. All I want to hear when people discuss these issues is that they're sympathetic and open to learning more about it. Allison, I know you were sort of joking about being a normal, and she put that in quotes, sized person, even when starving yourself, because I had talked about that even with full-blown anorexia, I was still a normal-sized person.
Right, and I said you didn't have full-blown anorexia.
Right, all of these things are true. So she says, sorry, I just want to read the whole thing. I know you were sort of joking about being a normal-sized person even when starving yourself, but that's a real issue. It's surprising how many people struggle with eating disorders that go unnoticed because they don't look sick. Mm-hmm. In my case, I've always been overweight, so even if at my sickest, I've had doctors tell me to lose weight after I've told them I was engaging in unhealthy behavior. 2 years to lose weight. Mm. It's really fucked up. I actually had one doctor who I saw exactly one time ask me about my weight history and say, so how's the bulimia working out for you? I also had mentioned in that episode something called orthorexia, which was like I had found was like a new – I had never heard of it before. It's an eating disorder, and she actually talks about – because I had been searching for a world, but that it's very restrictive, that people use sort of like diets or veganism or whatever to restrict themselves. So it seems like it's just healthy eating, but it's this disorder called orthorexia. Mm-hmm. So she says, orthorexia isn't exactly a new eating disorder. It's been around for quite a while, but it's starting to gain more recognition and awareness. I think it normally falls under the catch-all eating disorder not otherwise specified category in the DSM, the manual used to diagnose mental disorders. The type of foods that are restricted, I think that's the word you were searching for, change with whatever nutrition trends are popular, but the disorder stays the same. In the 90s, fat was evil, and now it's popular to be gluten intolerant, which isn't a real thing unless you actually have celiac disease. And addicted, she put that in quotes, to white sugar, also not real. Veganism is also used as a reason, but there are definitely ways to be a vegan or vegetarian and get enough calories. There are other eating disorders that aren't as well recognized, including binge eating disorder. A lot of people just call that being lazy or not good at dieting, but it is an eating disorder. In addition to bulimia, I also struggle with sleep-related eating disorder, where I sleepwalk and eat while still fully asleep. Mm. It's super weird and rare, and there's not a lot of research for information on how to treat that, so that's fun. The National Eating Disorder Association is a great resource if you're ever looking for more information, and she sent a link, and so we're going to add that to our show notes. So, as usual, I want to thank everybody. I want to thank you guys for, like, a multitude of reasons. I've been thinking about this a lot lately. The people that listen to this show, we want to thank you for just staying with us, because we talk about things that are sometimes pretty serious and sad and scary. And then also we talk about things that are offensive and ridiculous.
Right.
I want to thank all the people that have sent in your questions for being so vulnerable. Like, even though it's anonymous and we read it anonymously for that reason, the sort of honesty that we've been getting from people's questions, and also, you know, thank you for continuing to keep us accountable by sending in things like this and being like, hey, and just like we said in a previous episode, she was super respectful. She's like, yes. Hey, I love your podcast. I love you guys.
She said, here's where you missed the mark. I know you're just joking.
Totally.
But here's something that people need to know.
Totally. Yeah. You know, and so please keep holding us accountable, because it teaches us, it helps us, you know, this is it's a back and forth. We seek and give therapy on this show.
Mm-hmm. And we have a platform right now to get information out to people who need it.
100%. And you know, that's why we always read the feedback questions, where people say, I'm really struggling in my life right now. Thanks for having this podcast, because it made me laugh. Mm-hmm. I really struggle with depression. Thank you for having this podcast, because it helped me not feel alone. And that's why we're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
In a less nice email,
uh-oh.
I got this. Dear Allison, only written to me, by the way. So uh-oh. Dana, you're off the hook. I just listened to your episode making fun of eating disorders. I laughed so hard because I know you, but if I didn't, I would think you were a cunt.
Wow. Yikes.
Oh, super funny.
That's the end of the email?
That's the whole email.
Whoa.
I love the word cunt. It's so good.
There's only a few people that can use it.
Am I one of them?
No.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You read it, but.
I'm very into it.
Here's the thing.
Okay.
Then I think, just as a public service announcement about
us. Okay, uh-huh.
Our intention is never to be mean.
Mine is sometimes, if it's to you.
Right, if it's to me. No, I mean, like, when we're making our jokes and when we're being silly, it's never intended to harm anyone.
Correct.
You know, that's why we are labeled a comedy podcast.
True.
But I do think it's great that, like you said, people keep us accountable, mm-hmm. and we're able to get out information for somebody who may take it wrong.
Totally.
I'm not sure I would... based on our podcast, come back to you and say you were a cunt.
I'm gonna tell you something. I'm for it. I love this girl. I think she's hilarious. I love when people are mean to me. Unfortunately, it's just my jam. I still think she was real nice. She said it was hilarious, but she feels like if we weren't friends, she would think I was a cunt. You know, yeah. What? I get it. She's not the first person that thinks I'm a cunt. That's for sure.
I might think you're ignorant or misinformed, but I don't know if I would be like, that woman is a cunt.
You know what? Maybe. It's something that happens. I sometimes in my life when I'm describing other people, it's the only word when I'm searching, I'm like, this is the best way to describe that person. And it's gone.
It's got
to
be pretty severe for me.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we'll know that next time you use it. That's like a
code
red.
It's pretty severe, yeah.
This was a very intense storyline on the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, just
about
so we're clear.
About
calling people cons.
See, I think you can say C-box and we get what you're meaning, but it's way less harsh.
C-box.
But somebody said that's redundant.
A cunt box?
Yeah.
Because a cunt is a box?
Yeah.
I still like it.
I do too.
It's like poop wind.
Yeah.
A cunt box. Cunt box and poop wind.
We're all just looking for adorable labels, people.
But not baby brain.
And not accidental anorexia.
And not catching anorexia. Yeah. We will never do that again. Mm-hmm. Okay. I can't remember what's happening here. Oh, this is another piece of feedback from fake name Frumparella. Hello, my dear friends. I just wanted to share with you that I've gotten my husband. This is the second person that's gotten their husband hooked on our podcast.
Yay.
This was not intentional. Let me explain. When I listen to your podcast, this is super funny.
No.
When I listen to your podcast, I feel like I have friends. To clarify, I don't have friends. I'm a frumpy mid-30s mom of one, and I work from home, so my wardrobe consists of pajama pants and stretch-out bras. I fucking get it, girl.
This is our girl.
I fucking get it.
Yeah.
When I put on jeans and flip-flops, my 4-year-old daughter asks why I'm so dressed up. You know what? Good for you for being able to fit in pants. I'm just going to say that. As you can imagine, the combination of never leaving the house, only showering when it is absolutely necessary, and my intense introvertedness leaves me with very little social contact and zero close friends. Mm-hmm. I used to have a really close girlfriend, but we had a falling out a few years ago and haven't spoken since. But I digress. I was hoarding your podcasts to myself. Now, my husband and I frequently share our favorite ones, but I refuse to share yours because you're my friends, not his. Well, now he knows my secret and won't stop listening. Anyway, just wanted to let you know that you have helped me through a super deep depression, and I've finally gotten on some meds and have potential to help with the demons in my head.
Mm-hmm.
You have no idea how much you have helped. Thank you so much for doing what you do, and I can't wait for the next episode.
God, that's so healthy, so that she recognizes mm-hmm. that she's in a dark place and she's going to do something about it.
P.S. Cried my eyes out from beginning to end of episode 21.
Which one was that?
I don't know. I'm guessing it was the roller coaster one.
Oh, yeah.
Should we look? Let me just look and see what it was really quick. So
I identify, like, I went through that when I first had my baby, where I lost mm-hmm. all of my friends. I lost my entire identity. I was at home all the time with the baby. And obviously, we love our babies and we love being with them. But it's so important to have a healthy
right.
self-image and life of your own as well.
Right. 100%. And so I just wanted to point out that while some people think I'm a cunt, other people are very grateful.
Yeah.
We can't.
Listen.
What?
Not everybody's going to like us, but even your friend that called you a cunt likes us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, even the people that call me a cunt are otherwise kind of interested.
And supportive.
Yeah, exactly.
They're like, just really check your cuntness.
Check your cuntness at the door.
This is already, like, we are already in need of a Neva's Corner.
I know, it's true.
Oof, language.
We're going to move on to the part of our show that is the absolute worst therapy section. If you have anything that you're struggling with, if you something's keeping you up at night, something is vexing you, we want to hear about it.
If you want to know if you're responding in a crazy way to something, I feel like every time I come through Allison's door, I'm like, I'm going to tell you something. Does this make me crazy?
If you want to know if California has poison ivy, like, we're here to help you. That's yes. all I'm saying. So you can send your, you can email us at absoluteworstpodcast@gmail.com, or you can reach us through our website, absoluteworstpodcast.com, and just click on the contact button. You can send us direct messages on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We want to hear what's going on with you. Please do that. This is from fake name Angry Italian Mom. Mm-hmm. Hi, ladies. Hope all is well. So I'm hoping by asking this question, the episode doesn't take a turn for the worse.
Oh, God. She knows us.
Oh,
she
no.
Knows us.
I know. She goes, I don't want to make Allison cry or anything, but I oh. really am curious to hear your guys' perspective on this. I wanted to get your opinion regarding bullying. Oh, boy. Mm-hmm. She's right. I'm probably going to cry.
Me too.
Okay. Sorry. Because I'm constantly stapling papers mm-hmm. and I decided not to this time, and then I got confused about where the rest of this was. So I'm never gonna
win.
If
there's not another piece of paper, it's probably on the back.
It's on the back. Yeah. I'm falling apart. Okay. I wanted to get your opinion regarding bullying. How would you deal with a child bullying your child? I'm like, oh yeah, I'm already literally welling up.
Oh, boy.
My child is still a little too young for this to be a real problem right now, but I think about it often and how I'd react if it did happen. Even at my daughter's age 3, kids can be little assholes. Mm-hmm. I found myself sitting at playgrounds watching other kids messing with my child or someone else's for that matter while their mom sits on a bench playing on their phone. Mm-hmm. I found the best way to deal with that is passive-aggressively. I'm already confused. Passive-aggressively yelling at the parent through their child just loud enough for the parent to hear. Mm-hmm. Just because your mom is not watching you doesn't mean nobody else is.
Oh, wow. I think that's just, like, aggressive.
Yeah, exactly. That's not passive. It gets the job done, and I get to shoot them an eye roll when the parent finally looks up. Oh, and on a side note, I don't give a flying fuck what century. I love how angry she is. This is our kind of person. I don't give a flying fuck what century we live in. If your kid is throwing sand at mine while you're sitting on the bench making duck-faced selfies, you're a terrible parent. Get off the fucking phone. If all you care about is taking pics of your fugly-ass mug for a few likes on social media, then have someone that gives a shit take your kid to the park. Damn.
Yes.
As long as you're responsible for your child, there's no such thing as a break. And then she goes, oosh, I'm sorry. This is hilarious.
She felt the emotion as she typed.
I'm getting worked up and sidetracked. But what I'm saying is if that gets my blood boiling, I'm going to have a fucking stroke when she hits middle school. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I have a 9-year-old niece who does get bullied and has been for several years by multiple kids. My niece complains it's due to not having a phone. Figures. Who knows what it is? In my prior years, I've seen my sister deal with each situation, but then something eventually comes up again the following school year. It started with one child and then over the years turned into multiple necklace turds forming a group. How many parent conferences can one person have? I don't know how my sister does it. I remember the first time my niece was bullied and immediately my oh hell no attitude surfaced. I wanted to go to the school, call the police, form a support group, protest in the streets of the city, write the president. Well, maybe not. Then she says, well, maybe not the tart of a president we have now. This isn't a political show.
No.
But you get what I'm saying. I wanted to do something. I had this reoccurring dream that I'd show up at the bully's home with brass knuckles. And I'd sucker punch the parent as she answered the door. Then as little Tina is watching their parent drop to their knees, point at the child and say, mess with my child again and I'll be right back here again for round two. Now, obviously that will never happen. I am but a gentle soul, just very Italian. So the thoughts are there. However, I do not have resting bitch face. It's just full-blown bitch face. There's no hiding it. My patience is very slim when it comes to people. I'm not afraid of confrontation. She puts in all caps. At all.
Really?
No, really? Yeah, we didn't get that from your email at all. And even though I'd like to think I can whoop people's asses, the reality is I'm more likely to drop by with a pasta dish and become their best friend over a nice conversation.
Did you write that?
No! I know. It does sound like me. So back to my question. How do you handle it? What do you do? I can't grasp the idea that a good talk over pasta will do the trick. It's hard for me to even believe if I casually discuss the problem that would even work. I would imagine Allison's response to this would be something along the lines of telling them to go fuck themselves and maybe suck a dick.
Probably. Yes.
Honestly, okay, hold on. LOL, don't get me wrong. I can definitely get on board with that, except that might not be the best response. Or maybe this is the most appropriate response. I don't know, but I feel like I might have to turn to Dana for a little less heated advice. Something opposite of the attitude I already project in life, which I'd also like to add, is not 24/7 now that I've read this over and realize I come across as a complete asshole.
Oh, no.
That was quite a journey.
Yes.
People talk about how our giving advice, our roller coaster rides, yeah. That was a lot.
Yeah, because it was honest.
Totally.
Man.
It was awesome.
I got to tell you, as a mom or as a parent, like even dads, I think, feel it. When we see our kids being mm-hmm. picked on, the amount of fury that happens so instantly, mm-hmm. it just like floods out of your body mm-hmm. because it's a trigger for things we experienced as children and mm-hmm. we don't want our parents or our children to go through.
Right.
Or that things we experienced as children and we look back and go, why didn't my parents put a stop to that?
Right.
And that made me feel unsafe or sad or you know what I mean? So it's such a hard thing to deal with. And also then you get into all of this like can I parent somebody else's children? Right. Can I parent these parents? Like,
right.
You can't.
Right.
I remember when Henry was 3 years old, these two little boys, I took him to Travel Town. And he was a baby still. He had a pacifier, you know. Mm-hmm. And so maybe he wasn't quite three. And he was crawling on the ground and playing. And they kept going, look at that baby crawling. Mm. And just like, he didn't even know. He was trying to play with them and mm-hmm. laughing. He didn't get it. And finally, I got so mad because it's like, you know, you mess with a mama bear's cubs. Mm-hmm. They're going to. And I looked at them and I said, hey, does it make you feel good to make fun of a baby? Because he is a baby. He has a pacifier and he can't walk yet like you can. Mm-hmm. He can't run away from how mean you are. Mm-hmm. Does that make you feel good? Should I go tell your mommy and daddy what you're doing to a baby? Because this baby can't protect himself. Mm-hmm. I said, what's your problem? Are you angry?
I like how she thought I was going to be aggressive. You literally beat up two toddlers at train time. That's what I'm hearing.
I mean, I didn't physically, but maybe mentally I did. No, but here's what I want to say about the niece that's bullied, mm-hmm. because it's repeatedly happening. Mm-hmm. My question is, is this at the same school? Mm-hmm. Now, we live in a place where we have a lot of options for schooling. Mm-hmm. We have magnets. We have charters. Mm-hmm. We have private schooling. Public schooling. So I guess my question is there a way, I get what she's saying, like it resonated with me so hard when she said the necklace of kids, mm-hmm. like it's just getting more and more each year because children create groups. And even if they don't feel that way about her niece, to be cool, they'll right. throw her under the bus. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if she could get out of that specific group of children right. and start over somewhere fresh.
I'm just going to play devil's advocate to that really quick. Is there something that you can instill in your children? And I have to say, I don't identify with this too much. I don't know how to say this. It's not that I wasn't made fun of throughout the duration of my life, but I guess to some degree, I just always thought it was justified. I'm like, yeah, I guess I'm not. Like, I've talked before about how when I was growing up, everybody called me alien because I was so weird.
Yeah, but you have the type of personality that it doesn't hurt you.
It didn't. And I have to say that that's true. Yeah, you know,
I would have been hurt by
and
that.
And I was so attention seeking. It's totally changed now, but
no.
I didn't mind if people called me alien because it was attention. You know, I was like, I'm so crazy. Woo! My question to you is, and so two things. Number one, I don't know if I totally identify with this, particularly because my kid is so young. You know, mm-hmm. she's 14 months. So I really do, you know, I do think she's right to turn to you for the advice. But mm-hmm. number two, just to play devil's advocate on that advice, is there something that you could instill in a child? Because we can't always run away from the problem. Right.
No.
You know, like,
but
so
I think once we get
or if they don't have options for other schools, like, so that's one scenario. But like, what else can you tell your kid
if you can't get them out of that? I mean, I think literally the only thing you can do as a parent is hug them and say, I'm sorry. Those things that they're saying are not true.
Right.
You're lovely. And keep reinforcing that and hope that it's enough to get them by.
Right.
Because the fact of the matter is, once you get through high school, the majority of people, once they're removed from that a little bit,
right.
look back and go, oh God, kids are so fucking mean.
Totally.
And they realize that it's not as impactful as it felt when you were in it.
Right.
But the problem is we're having such a huge issue with children committing suicide
right.
because it feels so insurmountable.
Definite. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think that she needs to really make sure that she and her sister have such an open dialogue
right.
with this niece and let her know that this is going to pass.
Right.
These kids are not going to care or
matter. And they're probably going to be pregnant and drunk soon.
I mean, you can't tell a child
can't
that.
Can't you, though?
But
can you just say, like, don't worry, you know, about
because
little Billy. He's
going
to be a raging alcoholic and live at his parents' house till he's
47? No, because children are parents. And they will go back and go, hey, Billy, guess what? You're going to be a raging alcoholic
and live
with your parents.
And this is my next question. Is it wrong to encourage a child to stand up for themselves in some way?
No, I don't think
you don't
it
think
is.
You can. Okay.
No, I'm agreeing with
you. Oh,
you
are.
I don't
because
think
to some
wrong.
Degree, you know, I've said before about how sometimes my biggest defects, the reason that they're still lingering is because at some point in my life, they were, I guess, coping mechanisms or strength. You know, I found them to be strengths. And one of the things that I struggle with is sarcasm. Dana, unfortunately, has been on the receiving end of this a lot, where if I am trying to get through a problem and I've gotten a lot better at it. But like, so for instance, if I was ever like picked on or whatever, I'm like, oh, whatever, you know, Larry, you have a small dick. I don't know, you know,
right.
or like whatever my like snarky comment would be, because that was such a coping mechanism for me.
But that just feeds the bully sometimes.
But what happened for me is, if you say something that is pointed enough, it will shut them up.
As long as you can be strong enough.
Right.
I think when someone's starting out trying...
And I'm not saying that this 9-year-old should be like sarcastically talking about penis size, but
no.
Like, what is there something else to just say? You know, can you teach them to just be like, don't say that to me? You know, like, yeah. Don't. And I don't know. I'm sure that's like a personality thing. Like, maybe not everyone can do that.
But it's almost like teaching your kid to fake it till you make it. Like, right. Teaching them say, hey, don't say that to me.
Right.
You know, it's unacceptable. And they're going to be like, what do you mean it's unacceptable? You know?
Right.
So that they're building.
Like when you told that guy he wasn't clever. Yeah.
It really affected him.
Right.
It was nothing.
Because I think
me.
There's always the instinct to be like, go tell a teacher. And it's like, we kind of all know that that's not helpful, right?
It's just going to add. Brings back.
That's right.
You know, yeah. More.
And
on
I
you.
Think, too, for this woman, I think as this, you know, as the niece of this woman, what you can do is have special outings, you know, talk about what a great niece she is to your, I think, does she have a daughter or a son? I can't remember. I think she just says she has my daughter. Yeah, she has a 3-year-old, you know, to foster that relationship to give. I do think there's something in like having a little bit of responsibility that kind of peps you up as a kid of like, you're such a
makes
good,
you feel confident,
you know, good cousin to, you know, your little baby cousin. And like, she so looks up to you and like, you know, having little outings, maybe just like with your daughter and your niece. And like, you know, can you, I think
teaching too, like maybe if there are some comebacks that are not hateful responses, because I'm certainly even still guilty of like I say my tongue is a sword, like I
know
will eviscerate
well, that's what they say
words.
Isn't that like the Greek definition of sarcasm or something?
I
mean, it's
I
like
can be so horrible.
Yeah,
but maybe teaching her to say things like, huh, you must be having a bad day, I hope it gets better.
Right.
You
right.
know,
yeah,
and just walking away.
Right.
Or oof, are you feeling sad today and you just want to be mean?
Right.
I'm sorry. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like, I mean, and that's obviously asking a lot of a
child.
I think,
but it's teaching them ways of coping, of
totally,
saying what you mean.
Totally.
Like I always say, without being mean.
Because
that bully wants you to fight back.
Right.
So that you can get into this angry dog thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, now just shut them down and tell them that wasn't clever.
Right. I mean, and then, you know, I'm obviously such like a control freak, you know. I feel like I'm very eager to see what happens when my kid, you know, starts to get into these relationships with other kids to some degree. Because I'm like, I feel like I would invite the whole family over for dinner and put the kids together and be like, figure it out, bitches. Like, I would include the parents, invite them over, and like, really get down to the nitty gritty.
Sometimes that works because sometimes kids are dicks,
and
it's not, and their parents really aren't.
Mm-hmm.
Like my kid did throw sand at another kid one time.
Mm-hmm.
He thought it was like confetti.
Right.
He didn't realize. And immediately I apologized. Mm-hmm. I said, I am so sorry. He doesn't realize that that's wrong. I apologize. We'll move, you know, away. And then I said to Henry, I said, honey, this is not confetti. This is not play. Like this could get in somebody's eye and hurt them.
Right.
And so I think, with this niece, it's just going to be so very important if you can't remove her from the situation and let her start over fresh.
To just stay active.
Stay active and keep telling her, keep giving her examples of people who were bullied or who were not thought much of. And when they got older, they're so successful and they're so strong and they're so, you know.
And to just, and this is another, this has happened to us before where like, it's funny because we're basically giving advice to someone who did not ask because she's talking about her niece and her niece's mom, right?
Yeah.
And so all of this is like, I don't know,
but
you know,
she can play an important role in that because she's the aunt,
right? And
you know,
and that's what
I have a
think
relationship
about
with my nephews where I say to, you know, I've told them, and I know that my sister reiterates these things, but I don't know, I feel some weird responsibility, you know, they've had some not good role models in their lives, and I've said, you know, the actions that happened are things you don't want to do to someone when you grow up, you know?
And I think she's kind of like preemptively trying to plan for her own daughter. And what, and I think to that, all we can say is like, you can't really fight a war that doesn't exist yet. You know, you're obviously
and don't plan
mindful.
For it.
Yeah, you can't. Like, you're obviously mindful of it. You're aware that it's something that would potentially happen. In the meantime, you can keep reinforcing that positive behavior and strength of character and
I mean,
self-esteem.
Honestly, the odds of her child suffering from this are pretty slim.
Because
she's like
so
her mom.
Aggressive. It's true. It's so true. It's,
some people are just born with that ability to be like, I feel like you were one of those people that was just sort of born aggressive, like a duck,
like an angry, like everything Italian
just
mom.
Everything just rolls off, and you're like, you know, you were the, like my sister-in-law was the 4-year-old telling another bully to go fuck a tree, you know, like I was the quiet kid that would be shy and silent and sort of like wither in pain later,
right?
Until there came a point where I was like, no, I don't think this is acceptable.
Right.
And like, I may not be cool, but what you're doing is not clever.
Right. The old not clever.
It was the beginning. It was the beginning of what eventually became my, hey, you, fuck off.
Right.
You know, I don't give a shit what you think about me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's the most important thing. I'm probably somebody who's going to be like literally going to my, they'll probably have to be like, you know, ma'am, you don't need to stay with your child through the whole school day. Because I'm so, you know, like,
the thing is, obsessed. That's what I realized when I saw Henry's interaction with these older children and everything. I was affected by it.
Henry didn't care.
He didn't care.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he's still often like this. If we're at a playground and he's being too slow on a slide and kids are like, yeah, whatever, and they push him, he giggles.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's so much more resilient and strong than I am.
Which is awesome.
So,
because, like, you've instilled that in him. And I do think that's, like, paying attention to your kid.
Yeah.
You know, boosting them up. Strong self-esteem. You know, reinforcing the things that they do well.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly reprimanding them when they do things that are wrong. I had to remove
myself from that picture.
Right.
That's when I realized I need to get him in preschool. Mm-hmm. I need to get him away from me. Mm-hmm. I'm the problem here. And right. I was the one ready for a battle, and he was like, I don't care. I'm having fun.
It's not reason. I mean, conversely, I'm just going to say this because this is a safe place, I hope. But so my kid is 14 months old, and she's in a daycare where at 18 months, they move them to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
So there is this new baby in the daycare in her class who is so cute.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stand it. And everybody's dying over this baby. I mean, she might be like 7 months old. Like, she's so cute. She's really giggly, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
So Zoe, unfortunately, now has like formed a gang with some of the other children.
Oh, funny.
And they just like stare the 7 month old down. They're like, not today, not today.
Of course.
And so every time the other teachers are holding the baby, you know, Zoe and the other kid are like, it's hilarious.
It's jealousy.
Slash, she's super jealous.
Yeah.
And it's like, great, my kid's in a gang now. This is going really well. It's
funny.
It's not reasonable.
I think we just always have to remind our children, whether our child's the bully or the one being bullied, how important kindness is.
Right.
And how words
and now what I've tried to do when I go in,
affect people.
I literally go into daycare and fly past my own child to hold this adorable baby. I mean, she's so cute. I can't stand it. But now what I've tried to do is be like, Zoe, look how cute this baby is. Isn't she so nice? Look at this baby. And then she gets real excited.
Yeah.
Jesus.
That's so funny.
I can't.
That's getting into
I think we all know. Yeah, I think we all know it's not going to go well for me. I'm going to be the mom at school with machete being like, not today, Junior.
It's a crazy thing. I try and tell my son, because I feel like my parents were certainly not abusive in any way. Okay. But there was anything, if there was anything that I felt like I was missing as a child, it was constant reassurance of that I was okay and I was enough and I was smart. And so I make an effort, as cheesy as it is.
Mm-hmm.
He's just used to it.
Yeah.
Sometimes before he goes to school or before he goes to sleep, I go, hey. And he's like, what? And I go, I just want you to know you are brave.
Aww.
And strong.
Aww.
And kind. Aww. And intelligent. And he's like, yeah. And I go, aww. And handsome. And I give him a kiss.
Oh, that's so sweet.
So it's like this routine for us.
Right.
And he thinks it's sweet and it's lovely. And for me, in my mind and in my heart, I hope that I'm planting those seeds of confidence and reminding him about kindness and reminding him about being brave.
And as a million of our other listeners have said, no matter what we do, our children are going to end up in therapy and hating us. Like, it's just
and like Brian Gallivan, our guest a couple of weeks ago or whenever it was, said, I think it's even more important to be in therapy when things are going well.
Yeah, and somebody else had said, they said, listen, no matter what you do, your kids are going to end up in therapy. And that's good, because everyone should be in therapy.
Yeah.
Like, great.
And at a certain point, honest to God, this is the truth. The reality of life is your kids are going to choose who they want to be at a certain point in their life. And they can choose to be affected by what happened in their childhood or not.
Right.
So don't take that blame. Or, like, don't make yourself some kind of victim about how you fucked up your kids.
Don't let the
unless you, like, you know, really did.
Fall down on me. I don't know why that sounds.
I don't understand.
This is another less controversial question.
I feel worked up.
I know. I'm really excited. I know. I had to cut us off. We've already talked about it for 47 minutes. How do I tell an employee they smell really bad?
I have such a direct.
What is it? What? Set yourself on fire?
I don't know if I should say
this. Just let's hear it.
Okay. So someone I know.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. I just mouthed to Allison who it was.
Don't tell people that, Dana. What? It's, so many people have asked us.
This is behind the curtain. Let everyone in.
I know, but
you can't say who it is.
Well, then you can't say that you can't say it. And you can't say that you just told me, because in another episode, you mentioned that you and I had gotten in a fight. People are asking me nonstop what it was about.
None of their business.
Ugh. Anyway.
So anyway, this person I know worked with another person. Mm-hmm. Whose chair stunk.
Was it because they had a fart pillow?
Okay. It's worse.
Okay.
So my friend had to relieve her every day at lunch and go sit in her chair. Mm-hmm. And she was like, Dana, this is so horrible.
Oh, no.
Her chair smells like period.
Dana?
Constantly.
What did I say? What did I fucking say?
I said I wasn't going to do it anymore.
You agreed and you're bringing it up.
Listen, we don't have to talk about that element of it.
Oh, my God.
I'm just telling you that's the fact.
Uh-huh.
But she was like,
oh, my God.
What am I supposed to do? How do I tell this woman her chair stinks? Okay. I don't want to sit in it.
I'm so upset right now.
I know.
I just don't know what to say.
So the only advice I had for her was I was like, just roll another chair over when it's your turn. Like, right? So how do you tell someone that you work with that they stink?
So you're saying, no, this is an employee. This person can't just get them another chair every day.
No, I know.
This is like a
seemingly office administrator. Right.
Which just goes to show that you did not need to mention periods under any circumstances.
No,
it seems like you were just trying to figure it out. This isn't a coworker. It says, how do I tell an employee they smell? And here's the thing. If you're some sort of an administrator, you just need to do it. And you need to call them in your office and say,
yeah, tell us the words you sensitive
person. I will.
Person.
Give me the name of this person, Dana.
Janet.
Hey, Janet.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks for being in today.
Of course I have to. It's my job.
So, Janet, I just wanted to start.
Nope, my name's Janet.
That's what I just said.
No, you said Dana.
No, I didn't.
I swear to
God. I literally said Janet.
I'm going to have to cut this because you literally said Dana.
So, Janet, I just wanted to start by asking, is everything okay?
Yeah.
Oh.
Am I doing a good job?
No, you're doing a great job.
Oh, it's thank just, you. I was like, am I getting fired?
No, of course not. It's just a couple of your employees have come to me.
Of my coworkers?
With concerns, just about your hygiene level.
What?
The couple of people have mentioned that.
Who?
No, it's certainly not something that I can share with you, unfortunately.
So then maybe it's just you and you're trying to tell me I stink and you're a cunt.
I quit.
Whoa, whoa. And scene. I'm just getting back
okay,
up.
I guess we just.
What would
don't
you say
know.
For real?
I think I would really start with like, how is everything going? Are you doing all right?
I don't know.
You know, we've had a couple of concerns about, you know.
I think as an authority figure, you can't throw anyone else under the bus. I think you have to take that on yourself.
Okay, fine.
And I think you have to say, this is uncomfortable for me and I am sure it's going to be uncomfortable for you, but I have to let you know. God,
I don't think you can laugh in the middle of it, Dana.
Sorry. There might be some medical issues behind this. I'm not sure, but there is an odor.
That is offending your coworkers.
No.
Okay.
There is an odor I've noticed, and I don't want it to become a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to address it with you before someone else notices, or just in case it's something that is related to a medical issue that you may not be aware of.
Oh, there you go.
Let's see what we can, you know, what you can figure out with this. Feel free to come to me if there's a problem. I'll try and help you out as best I can. Let's just try to.
In the meantime, we are going to need you to pull up a new chair every 20 minutes. It is becoming. So
you're
we
an
have
asshole.
Stuart,
I was trying to be serious.
We have Stuart coming over to your desk, and every 20 minutes, he's just going to give you a new chair. We're going to burn the old
one. But he doesn't know that you stink.
We haven't told him why. He's just going to be there with a bunch of chairs.
This is the worst podcast. I think both of us agree. You just have to tell
the
person.
You have to say something. And you're going to need to put chairs into the budget, that's for sure. If you do the budget, you're off.
I just told this friend, like, have your own chair at the ready.
Yeah, you just need to make sure there's a bunch of chairs.
This person was like, I'll tell you, I have brought perfume and squirted it on the chair. And I was like, no, you're just exacerbating the odor. You're wetting it.
It's nothing personal. It's just there'll be a line of chairs.
But that is
waiting.
True. Sometimes people have odors that happen in their body places that they don't know about that's related to a medical problem.
Okay.
It's true.
No, I believe you.
People that have, like, I think, is it kidney problems? Sometimes get halitosis and things. Okay. They could be dying.
Totally. I think your advice was really good.
No, you don't.
No, I do. I don't know that I could do it, though. I think this explains why
That's why this person makes
the big
bucks.
I don't have any employees. Yeah, exactly. This isn't something I would be good at. Okay, this is our last question. Okay. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Fake name Ashley, as usual. I just don't think anybody's understanding the fake name. She starts with, ugh, I'm needing some major clarity. Mm-hmm. So let me give you some backstory. A coworker told me a story about how she moved from New York and her boyfriend of 4 years to Texas.
What?
Oh, she moved from New York to Texas. To have him cheat on her a month later. She moved from New York with her boyfriend of 4 years to Texas.
Yeah,
so
they both
moved together.
To Texas. Yeah.
So what is it about? Okay. Mm-hmm. Needless to say, she dumped the sack of shit. Mm-hmm. Cut to my life. A lot of angry listeners today. I'm very into it.
Are we?
We're perpetrating.
Perpetuating that?
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I just moved to California with my boyfriend of 2 years, and I'm paranoid out of my mind that the same thing will happen to me. Mm. Like I am stalking who he follows on social media and get a pit in my stomach when his phone lights up or goes out without me. Boys night. I was totally fine until she told me this story. I feel like I am sabotaging my relationship. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the fuck is wrong with me. Why am I so psycho?
Okay, well, you're not psycho.
No, she is.
Allison, that's a harmful word.
Okay.
Do you want to talk first? Yeah, you go first.
Well, I do think that this is an extension of fear, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. My, you know, I always am like, what are the additional details? So there's something that, so my best friend, I've talked about Jenny Burt before on this show. She's a lawyer.
You keep saying you're not supposed to out her.
Well, I said that one time and then you made fun of me. And so now I'm just like, I'm going to say it.
Hi, Jenny Burt.
Hi, Jenny. So she's an attorney. And one of the things that she has always helped me with, because she is a very just stick with the fucking facts. Mm-hmm. She will tell you, if I call her crying or angry or whatever my emotional level is, she'll tear it all away and go, but what are the facts? Mm-hmm. What's really going on? So the first thing I would ask you is, what are the facts? Do you have any legitimate reason mm-hmm. to be suspicious of your boyfriend other than just the story that you heard from your friend?
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. The second thing is, what else was going on in your friend's relationship? Certainly a move was not the thing that did this.
Mm-mm.
You know, like, take a look at what those facts are. Was there other extenuating circumstances? Had they been having problems? Whatever that is. If you look at those things, you know, if you look at particularly your boyfriend and you review the facts and realize, okay, there's really no good reason to be suspicious. I'm just afraid. Then it's like, what are you afraid of? Is it that you are looking, you know, do you want a reason out of this relationship? Mm-hmm. And so you're pinning it on him. Are you getting close to marriage and you're afraid? Are you interested in someone else?
Are you feeling insecure, like you're not enough for him?
Yeah. What's going on that you're afraid? Yes. You know, because to me, that's what it's a symptom of that.
Right.
You know,
and she's projecting that,
right.
that fear.
And then you're right. You are sabotaging
stalking.
The relationship.
Absolutely sabotaging,
right.
Because that's someone else's experience.
Right.
And so by that reason, I could like, be like, oh my God, I'm a redhead. A killer clown is going to drag me into a sewer and we're all going
to
float.
Does that happen to redheads?
No, but that's
what
the storyline. That's the storyline of the little girl in It. And that's my point. It's crazy to just be I'm a girl. This other girl's boyfriend and her moved. Now this is going to happen to me. Like,
right.
There's no correlation.
Thanks for the spoiler, by the way, on It, in case Anyway.
It's a book. Anyway. It's been out since like 1812.
You know how I am with spoilers in movies.
Anyway, my point is, there's no, right now there's no correlation unless right. there's prior history.
Right. So if you look at that and you're like, oh, I do have reason to be mm-hmm. suspicious, you know, whatever that is, then you need to address it in your relationship.
You mm-hmm.
And if it's not, then you need to figure out, what is it about this relationship that's scaring you?
Yes.
Do you want out? Do you want to cheat? Mm-hmm. You know, like, I know, I feel like we do that sometimes where we pick fights with our spouses because we're like, we're the ones that really want the thing we're pretending that, whatever,
right.
you know?
Or there have been red flags and she's been in denial and she
right.
knows
and
it.
This other friend's story brought it up.
Yes.
Yeah. So one of those two things is happening. And so if you find that there, I mean, either right is bad. I mean, we love getting updates.
Yeah.
We want to know what's going on. So if
and
you look at it,
not be stalking his social media.
No, that's not appropriate.
And making up crazy stories.
Not appropriate. Even if you look and you go, yep, there are a couple of reasons for me to be suspicious. It doesn't give you the right to ruin, to invade his privacy, because you wouldn't want to be treated that way.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, like, my husband and I have completely open policy on everything because we don't have anything to hide.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean that we don't deserve our own privacy.
Mm-hmm. I have to tell you, 9 times out of 10 when I open our laptop, my husband's email is just open.
My husband, I will call him and be like, can you get into my email and find this document? And,
100%.
You know,
but I would, even when it's open, there's nothing. I don't snoop around there.
Yeah,
I,
no, me either.
I take his phone constantly to take pictures of our kid or do whatever. I don't, like, look through things.
Because I think the only thing gained from that is insanity.
Yeah, it's just
going
to start.
Because you just start going down a
rabbit
hole.
And I feel this way, too, honestly, to some degree. If your spouse or partner or whatever is cheating, you don't need to do any digging. You're going to figure it out.
You're going to find out.
You're going to figure mm-hmm. it out. So I would just do a little soul searching there and figure out what's going on. And if you have reason to be suspicious, you need to address it.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's just an underlying fear, you need to maybe address that. But without him, probably. You can just write us back and we'll help you.
Yeah, write us back. But also, like, when you start having this record on repeat in your brain
right.
of, like, this is going to happen to them.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right.
Yeah.
You're going to magnetize
you're
that.
You're
going to
create problems where none exist.
Yes.
Don't do it, sister.
It is sabotage.
Don't motherfucking do it, sister. Da, 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 da. I just
Why
sing sometimes
every one of your songs,
like...
your songs always end with the lyric da 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 da.
I'm sorry if I'm a phenomenal lyricist, Dana.
Clearly.
We want to move on to the
da da quashi kaka.
Oh, I snorted. I'm sorry. We want to move on to the absolute yorst section of our show. This is a very popular and well-loved
nope.
name.
It's just not. I've had even more people discuss this with me lately as they keep listening. They're like, you know, it doesn't work. That doesn't make sense. That you can't force it.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
it's
well, it's a
done
deal.
It's happening.
It's done.
So if you have a story that's bizarre, tragic, unique, funny,
embarrassing,
horrifying. We want to hear about it. You can email us at absoluteworstpodcast@gmail.com. Also, don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes.
That helps us get on lists.
If you've been listening to this and you're like, this show is so funny and you haven't rated and review, how fucking dare you?
Can I be honest? Like, we need you to share us with your friends.
Dana's so good at, like, social media and knowing numbers. I just feel like this isn't.
And so when you rate and review
us. I do definitely want you to tell all your friends, though.
Those things absolutely make a difference on whether or not we show up on lists and
yeah.
featured and things like that.
I don't know what she's talking about,
and
but I love you.
I don't want to say, I don't want you to say anymore. If you would like to, just say, please write us.
Oh, sorry. How did I end up getting in trouble for this? This is what I want you to do.
The show is based on people writing in questions and stories.
See,
otherwise,
Dana's
we don't,
like,
have anything to talk about except ourselves.
Which is terrible. Dana's very into the numbers portion, but this is what I'm into. I want you to go out of your apartment, if you still live in one, or a house, if you're a fucking millionaire. I want you to go to your neighbors. I want you to knock on the door. I want you to be like, are you listening to the Absolute Worst podcast? Because it's hilarious. And then stand there while they download it and subscribe.
Yeah, because
that's not unreasonable.
And then go trick or treat and hope you get some chocolate.
Okay. This is an absolute yorst. Back in 98, that's the year I graduated from high school.
Oh, braggart.
Back in 98, shortly after I moved to Chicago to be with my girlfriend, now wife, I would walk through quaint North Side neighborhoods to the Kinko's in order to fax out resumes. And then he says, get off my jock. It was 98 and I'm old. One day, as I was walking past from a robust round of faxing out cover letters that would go entirely unanswered, I passed by a portion of sidewalk on a picturesque residential street that had recently been poured. It was still wet. I got excited because I'm a hopeless romantic who had just relocated to Chicago in order to be with the woman I loved, and my brain immediately began creating elaborate fantasies whereby I'd take my lady on a sunny spring day for a neighborhood walk, only to randomly, he put in quotes, stop near a piece of sidewalk where I'd point out our names inscribed in the cement, causing her to melt into my arms and declare me the most thoughtful, loving, sexy man she'd ever heard of. So I took
this is a sensitive guy.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
So I took a small stick and etched our names in the year into the slowly drying concrete, and then with a huge smile on my face, resumed my jaunt home, calculating in my head the optimal number of days to wait before instigating the most romantic walk in the history of walks. I got about 150 feet when I heard a faint female voice say, Sean and Betsy, followed by a loud male voice, hey, are you Sean? I turned around a bit confused. Yeah, I said as I started to walk back toward them, wondering if maybe they were upset that I had thought of it first. Then I noticed the woman frantically covering over my etching. Did she not understand romance?
Oh, God.
When I got closer, I saw that they were both clearly upset. I also noticed that in the opposite corner of the sidewalk square were two sets of tiny handprints and two names. They then informed me that they had just paid out of their own pocket to have the sidewalk repaired because the city wouldn't do it, and they had used it as a chance to capture the handprints of their young children for posterity, and I had nearly ruined it. My eyes got wide, and I think all I was able to muster was a muted, my bad. I've offered to pay them something to fix the section I had defiled, but I didn't have a job, so I clammed up and walked away. Probably the most embarrassed I've ever felt. I'm sure I've done objectively more embarrassing things, but the feeling of embarrassment here is still tops on the list. Which, of course, aww, because he's such a fucking sweetheart, now he's thinking that he's, like, ruined these poor children's lives.
Aww.
And that he's, like, I mean, that's probably the sweet, like, that's not even an absolute Yorst. That's, like, greatest
but
man of the
felt
year.
But like it was.
Yeah, but that's because he's, like, a very nice person.
I know.
My
I think
absolute
his lesson from that was he was like, oh, my God, I have, like, he's trying to show his love to
right.
his lady and everything, but he put himself so in the center of the picture that he didn't see how his actions might have affected somebody else.
Right, which is why
which
he's
is,
a
like,
wonderful
so
person.
Enlightened and lovely.
Right, my absolute Yorst would have been like, so then I fucking slapped the bitch and pissed on the sidewalk, and then I moved on with my life and got hit by a cab and broke my leg and woke up in my parents' bed.
And you know what? Fuck everybody for doing that to me.
And why would you pay for fucking cement to be on the sidewalk anyway, you dumb twat? If I was single, I would, you know what? I wouldn't. I was going to say, if I was single, I would hit this guy up, but like, he would not like me.
Well,
it wouldn't work.
He might want to help you.
Unreasonable. What would you say is the most embarrassing? Like, he was talking about, like, it's not objectively the most embarrassing thing. What do you think is the most embarrassing thing you've ever done?
Oh my God, I've done so many things.
What's the first thing that comes to your mind?
Oh Lord.
You see, you don't even know one.
I mean, it's a toss up between like underwear issues, like the time I shoved my dress, like
sure.
I've talked about in
uh-huh.
episode one,
yeah.
and the time I was in the men's bathroom and then locked myself back in the thing again and had to wait to get out.
Right.
There's that. There's when Allison,
what?
I feel like probably we both do this and this is why we're friends.
Okay.
Of like saying things like we talked at the top of the episode that we
well,
think is a joke.
Well, you did say directly to a man that those weren't your poop streaks, so that's probably on the list.
Okay. When I was in high school, uh-huh. I was starting to be like, yeah, I think I'm funny.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Uh-huh.
I was never a class clown, but I was like, no, I'm witty and I say funny things.
Uh-huh.
Right? So this kid who was so nice.
Uh-huh.
There were three of us grouped off in a math class, a geometry class, and we had to work on a group project. And so we were kind of trying to get to know each other. It was early in the year. And he was like, yeah, I've moved a lot. I've never stayed at a school. This is the longest I've been at a school. I've been here, you know, for the beginning of this year. And usually I've already moved to another school. I've been to a million schools. And I said,
why? Because what is your dad a drug dealer? You guys do drugs, you gotta move and run away.
He was a drug dealer.
Yes. He was like, oh, Dana, actually, please don't be upset. He was so nice.
Oh, no.
He's like, I don't want you to feel bad, but my dad is in federal prison because he was a major drug dealer. I literally cried.
You're
like
a terrible
instant
person.
Tears. I was like, I was just trying to be funny. Like, I was just joking around. I'm so sorry. I don't even know what that must be like. I hope you stay here forever. And I'm sorry your dad's in prison.
Stupid.
What an asshole.
No, you're not a nice person. I'll tell you what happened to me once. I was very drunk and I was at a bar. And I was talking to this guy. He was so cute. And we were hitting it off and we were drinking. And I was like, somehow agreed to leave the bar with him. But when we got off our bar stools, I realized he was very short.
No,
like,
Allison.
I don't want to say he was a midget, but
Allison,
he was.
You can't say that word anyway.
You can't say midget?
No.
What do you say?
But you say a little person.
Oh, I did not know that. I am so sorry. So he was a version of a little person. Like
a version of?
I mean, he was just very short.
This is one of your most embarrassing moments.
Well, yeah, because I had already agreed.
No, talking about it.
Oh. So I had already agreed to go, obviously, sleep with him. But then I was like, this isn't going to work. Like, as soon as we got off the bar stools, I was like, this is not. But I was in Chicago and I needed a ride home. So he drove me home.
Ew.
And I was like, here's the deal. Then I started getting confused because we were sitting again, you know, so we're sitting in
and
the car
drunk.
And I'm like, he's cute. Like, this guy's really cute. And then I had to remember he's a very short, like, this isn't going to work. So
why would you not?
I just felt like it wasn't
going
to work. I've told you before that I have a very good sense of if we're going to have good sex or not.
Right. But you're basing it on his height.
That is correct.
Not who he is as a person.
That's not how good sex happens. It's not a personality thing. It's a fucking it's a height thing, I guess, and a body thing. And
it's
just the chemistry wasn't there. I mean, I guess when we were laying down.
But it was when you were sitting.
Yeah. But I didn't want to feel like his feet around my shins. Like, it was too much. Like, I just knew it wasn't going to work.
Walking bag of dicks. Go. Keep going.
Well, so then I had to, like, we made out in the car again because I'm like, you are kind of cute. When you're sitting.
I am going to lead you on until I tell
you
you're
short. Well, I feel like if you're sitting, it's fine. But I'll tell you what, I learned a very important lesson that day was do not agree to go home with someone unless you're off the bar stool.
The moral of the story is always stand.
Always get off.
Before
you get off the bar stool before you agree to go home. That's all I'm saying.
Neva's Corner. Hi, Grandma.
I'm not saying we should always use the C word. I'm not saying it shouldn't be used when describing me. I just want to apologize if it comes up, but I also want you to know that it was probably necessary.
Are you actually talking to Neva?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you have anything you want to say over there, C-Box?
Hi, Grandma.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry I said a lot of language today.
And also,
I'm also sorry that I emotionally traumatized a couple of little kids at Travel Town.
Okay, and what about the thing that I said we weren't going to talk about on the show anymore?
And I'm also sorry that I brought up the smell of menstrual blood.
Oh, my God.
It wasn't my story. It was someone else's.
Neva's Corner. I mean, I just don't even have the energy. Like, that's it.
No.
You've ruined everything.
No.
Do you vow to never bring up the P word on the show ever again?
Period?
Don't, Dana. It's too much. I don't want to talk about it. It's fucking disgusting. And that's not what this show is about. Okay? Ron Guerin already said we were losing the male perspective. Stop talking about it.
Why are you so
I'm so upset.
Of something female
I don't
in
like
your
it.
Body?
I don't like it. Say Wait. Goodbye.
No, I'm not ready yet.
Ugh.
Can I just tell you one more thing?
Fine.
So, you know, because I tell you everything I do with my life,
okay.
That I was out of town and I went to Penn State to
yeah.
teach a workshop.
Uh-huh.
So maybe this is something we can discuss later.
Oh, Jesus.
Think on it. Think on how to
okay.
fix me.
Okay.
I left something of my own everywhere I went. One time, I left my wallet on a bench outside of the hotel
uh-huh.
for 3.5 hours
okay.
and went downstairs and it was still there.
Okay.
But why do I keep doing that?
I just want to introduce you to the show that we have here. We tend to do like therapy questions in the beginning. Sometimes we do like some feedback.
I'm a rule breaker.
Say goodbye, Dana.
Allison.
What?
Hey.
What?
I love you.
Ugh. Bye.
Shut up and sit down.